I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi. It's such a weird setup. Like, you just look at me like, what am I supposed to say?
I do. I don't really know how to set it up. I don't really. We've been doing this for a long time now, and I still don't know what to do. I'm just kind of waiting for you to just jump in and start talking about stuff, and we just get a high. She has this grin, and she stares at me for a little bit first.
I know it's coming every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get used to it. It's going to keep happening.
PCOS,
today's topic. We're going to talk about PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Ladies, if you think you're the only one out there suffering with it, you are not. Trust me, there are tons of you that come into our clinic.
More importantly, if you are out there with it and you're thinking there is absolutely nothing you can do, wrong.
Call us because we can help.
Because so often when people come in and they have this issue, this isn't what brings them in. Because they are, you know, fairly clear in their mind there isn't anything they can do to fix it.
Right. I've learned through just experience, a lot of women start dealing with this at a very young age.
Yes.
Much younger than should be. And it's kind of heartbreaking. I mean, have some young girl in there talking about it with mom, and they're really concerned and they don't really understand, and, you know, just going through it. So we've had enough questions about it, and, you know, the talks on fertility a while back, we talked about, you know, PCOS and how it impacts that sort of stuff as well. And so we've just received lots and lots of questions, and, you know, we want to try to shed some light on PCOS and what it is, what goes on with it, and, you know, really kind of just give a good overview of things.
Yes.
So this might be a couple of part show. I'm not really sure. We'll try to get through some of this stuff, but I don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to just quickly blow through this and be able to give you guys out there listening to us the level of information that you're used to. We actually have started getting, you know, messages, hey, you did a one-part show, and like I still don't know about this or that or something else. I was expecting a little more.
Right. So because some of these shows we're trying to break up so that we can, so that it's easier for people, because I know that most people have said they like the multi-part shows. We have had a few that are like, okay, I never know where, you know, I mean, I don't have time to listen to three or four parts, but it's hard for us to put everything you actually need to know into one episode.
Right. I can't put it all into one episode. You just can't.
And PCOS is one of those things that I think there's so much information that is not out there that it was hard for us to limit it too much because we'd be missing things that I think are really important.
Right. So today we're going to just answer a couple of questions. We're going to talk about what polycystic ovarian syndrome is, and then we're going to talk about addressing the underlying causes. If we go get beyond that, great. If not, well, we'll finish it up on the backside on a different show. So, polycystic ovarian syndrome. I mean, there's a ton of information out there that we just don't know. There's a lot of unknown with PCOS. It's a metabolic disorder that comes with hormone imbalances. Is really, in a nutshell, what you're dealing with. In fact, it's the most common form of hormonal imbalance. We call it an endocrine disorder because endocrine means hormones. If you're new to the show, we talk about the endocrine system a lot on the show. We talk about hormones, and this PCOS is the most common endocrine thing that happens in women of reproductive age. The guesstimates out there are 5 to 15% of women of reproductive age suffer with PCOS.
Right, and the number's rising.
Yeah, the number's rising. I mean, all the time talking, you know, with people, they're like, oh yeah, so-and-so has PCOS, and I have PCOS, and this person has PCOS. And I mean, it's become almost what's the word I'm looking for? Like epidemic type of thing. Like it's so many more are having it than what we used to see. And
there are reasons for that, which we're going to get into.
Right. So some of the stuff that there's some controversy out there, and some of it surrounds like kind of how the diagnosis is. And you know, there are different ways that people arrive at a diagnosis. And I think that we have such an issue with this because no one is really clear on how many people this is affecting or what it is that's really going on that all of a sudden we're like, oh gosh, you have PCOS. I mean, people come in and tell me they have PCOS, they've been diagnosed with it. Okay, where do you, how were you diagnosed? And I'm flabbergasted by the number of women that just say, well, my doctor just said, oh, it's just, it must be PCOS. They didn't test anything. They didn't look at anything. They didn't touch anything. They didn't do anything. And they just throw out a diagnosis of PCOS. I mean, I don't get it. That's baffling to me. Well, I'm going to talk more about that in a bit. But the hormones that are most often affected in women that are dealing with PCOS are they tend to have higher levels of androgens. And it's not necessarily that their levels of androgens are actually high. They can just be high in relation to their estrogenic hormones. If they can be high in relation to estrone, estriol, estradiol, progesterone, that's where we're talking about. It's not just that, you know, they have high levels of testosterone, their testosterone's through the roof, so they have PCOS. It doesn't work that way. Or their DHEA is through the roof. It just doesn't work that way. But, you know, that's what happens. So when we talk about syndromes, things like irritable bowel syndrome or fibromyalgia syndrome, things like that, these things are different than, say, a standard disease, right? Diseases typically have very distinct etiologies or causes, right? They, you know, single problem, single, you know, single cause, single effect. But things like syndromes, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, these things have a much broader thing that is creating them. There are a lot of signs and symptoms that are common. So you have to group all of these signs and symptoms together and look at all of these things as one big picture. We don't just say, oh, you have abdominal pain, you have PCOS, because there's a lot of things that cause abdominal pain. But, you know, just because we see all these symptoms, it doesn't necessarily mean that we know what it is that's actually driving the issue. And that's where I think some ideas are floating around out there that are relatively solid, and then other people just have no clue what it is. I mean, research is just suggesting that there's a lot of different factors that go in PCOS. I mean, they're acknowledging, hey, look, there's a lot of stuff here that we have going on. I mean, anytime you have something that's dealing with hormones, it's dealing with absolutely anything that can be going on in the human body. You can't deal with one hormone and not have an effect, either direct or indirect, on every other hormone in the body. There's genetic predisposition. There, you can have your genetic code. We talk about genetics and epigenetics, and I think people get confused with that. You know, just because you have a genetic predisposition doesn't mean that you're going to have something, but it also doesn't mean that you're not going to have it. So you can have some genetic predisposition to something, and things that happen in your life can trigger this PCOS to take place. Things like environment are huge. What you live in, what you eat, the air you breathe, the stuff you put on your skin, other lifestyle factors, you know, how stressed are you? You know, do you get enough sleep? Do you drink enough water? Do you get enough nutrients in your system? All of these affect the human body in massive ways. And so women with PCOS, like I said before, they have higher levels of androgens, and they also are going to have higher levels of insulin and blood sugar. And that's the vicious circle that starts dealing with this. You know, PCOS leads to insulin problems. Insulin resistance leads to hormone imbalance. Hormone imbalance leads to PCOS. And that vicious cycle is just on repeat, because PCOS leads to more blood sugar dysregulation, more insulin resistance, which leads to more hormone imbalance, which leads to more PCOS, and vice versa. The only way to stop this is to break the cycle and then unwind it. And that's where I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, you have PCOS here, take this birth control pill, we'll balance out this one hormone and that's going to fix it. Doesn't help the insulin resistance that's developed.
Right. Well, and this is actually, it's a metabolic disorder, right?
Right.
I mean, and that changes things completely, because like other metabolic disorders, I mean, we talked about, you know, type 2 diabetes, there are other things that need to go into this. You're not able to just give a pill and have it fixed. It doesn't make sense. Metabolic disorders aren't going to be fixed that way. They simply aren't.
Right.
Not that a lot of other disorders are either, but specifically
right.
anything that's metabolic in nature needs to be handled differently.
Right. Metabolic problems need to be fixed from the inside out. You can't take an outside, you know, substance that's foreign to the body and expect it to fix the issue. You have to use things that the body knows what to do with. You fix this thing with nutrients and, you know, the right vitamins and minerals, and maybe you do have to use a little bit of bioidentical hormone in the short term to get everything kicked back and functioning again.
And a lot of times it will include somewhat of a change in diet. Your diet is important, and your diet is going to, I mean, that's, you know, what we're eating. We're eating every single day, right? We're eating many times a day. And so that's going to affect how our genes are expressed. And so just like we've talked about with type 2 diabetes, where, you know, diet becomes extremely important, it's the same thing with PCOS. Finding out what your food sensitivities are and limiting the foods that are going to drive up the symptoms of PCOS.
Right. And we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit more about the cycle of PCOS, insulin resistance, and hormone imbalance back to PCOS again. You're listening to Wellness 101. If you're just tuning in, today we are talking about PCOS or polycystic ovary syndrome. And we were talking about, before the break, we were talking about the vicious cycle that is PCOS. And that is PCOS, insulin resistance, hormone imbalance, back to PCOS again. And that cycle, it doesn't really matter where you start in the cycle. It just keeps feeding on itself and just keeps going and going and going and going. And the only way that you're going to help this is to break that cycle. You got to stop that circle and then unwind it. It's really not that difficult. It can just take some time, especially if you've been dealing with PCOS for years or, you know, even decades. You know, it's not going to be something that's fixed overnight. And it could, you know, if you have huge cysts on your ovaries, which some women do, I mean, these things, if they get to the point where they rupture, it's just excruciatingly painful. But you know, they're not just going to go down overnight. They're just not like a balloon that you can deflate and the air's all gone because you fixed the insulin resistance. And so whoop, it's all better now. It doesn't work that way. So with this whole PCOS being a metabolic disorder, we were talking about how, you know, the syndromes have this myriad, this group, this bunch, this amount of things that are going awry, and it's basically your doctor's job to put all this stuff together and say, well, this is what we think it is. Well, really, to be diagnosed with PCOS, you have to have some testing involved. Too many people, like I said in the first segment, too many people look at someone and, you know, a young lady comes in and she's having trouble getting pregnant and she has a lot of pain and the doctor's like, well, it's probably PCOS. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't really tell us anything. How did we look at this? How did we arrive at the diagnosis for this?
Well, I mean, and I think part of the problem is, like we've talked about with thyroid issues, is that if you are having these PCOS symptoms, they're going to treat you the same whether you are just having, you know, symptoms that are related to it or actually having it. They're not looking at it as a metabolic disorder. They've got, you know, what they will do for PCOS, and that's what you're going to get. So I think that's what the difference here is.
Right. And you know, that we're going to talk about this later, but, you know, the gold standard, the true gold standard of diagnosing someone with PCOS is actually doing an MRI or an abdominal CT to actually get a three-dimensional look at the ovaries. An ultrasound is actually not the best way to diagnose this stuff. And I have a lot of women that come in and they ask me a question about that. And I use a pretty good example. I'm like, okay, so with an MR or a CT, we're able to see that entire ovary and what's going on with it. if we're just using an ultrasound, imagine, if you will, that you're holding in your hand with your palm down a volleyball. Most of us can hold a volleyball like that. And imagine you're going to hold that up in the air, and that is your ovary, all right? And the ultrasound is the flashlight that you have in your hand, and you shine the flashlight on the ball. How much of the ball is actually has light being shined on it? It's about half, right? So you're really, with an ultrasound, you're only really seeing about half. But unfortunately, an ovary is egg-shaped, and it's not a perfect circle. And so what you're seeing is less than a half once you shine the light on that egg. You just cast a shadow, and there's a lot of the ovary that's completely missed. And so we've actually had women that come in, they're like, well, my doctor tested me for PCOS, and they said I don't have it. Well, how did they do it? Did they run any blood work? No, they did an ultrasound, said it was negative. I'm like, well, they missed something somewhere, because we have all these other things that are screaming polycystic ovary syndrome, and they just ran an inadequate test. And when you explain that to them, there gets to be a lot of frustration of why things weren't done properly in the first place. And I mean, I don't know why it is, but it's just something that happens. So we'll talk more about that in later in today's show, or maybe even in the second part of this on the diagnostic process for PCOS. But back to the whole metabolic thing. I mean, it's not any dissimilar to type 2 diabetes. You know, there's a vicious circle that happens and someone ends up with type 2 diabetes. There's a vicious circle that happens with PCOS and someone, you know, ends up in our ends up with that issue. So we have a lot of women that come into the clinic that are dealing with PCOS, and most commonly their complaint is either absent periods or they're extremely infrequent and irregular, and
or infertility.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so, I mean, stress plays a pretty good sized role here. And there is a lot of people think that stress is just like pressure and deadlines, and that's all stress is. So if you're not under a deadline, you're not under stress. Well, that's not true, because not eating enough food, not having enough calories, not getting enough protein, not getting enough fat in your diet, that is a stress. And a lot of people don't get enough protein or fat in their diet, period, cut and dried. And so if you're not getting enough calories to support the activity level or the, you know, the cognitive level of things that you're doing, your body is stressed. And this is part of why this complex multifactorial syndrome can have a bunch of different causes, because there are a lot of different patients that are coming in that have their own unique set of symptoms. They have their own unique background, and you got to tie all this stuff together. And that's what makes it a little bit more difficult to diagnose and treat.
Right, but because it's not as simple as saying you have PCOS, so we're going to, you know, here's what we do for that. You know, we're going to give you a pill or whatever. It's, you've got to find out what is causing it, and what for this specific person is going to be the fastest route to relieve them of their symptoms and hopefully undo the damage PCOS has caused.
Right. So there's a big difference. You know, this thing, it shows up in so many different ways. Like I was saying, you can be infertile, you can have subfertility, you can be dealing with skin problems. Those things are also extremely common. Hair growth, excessive hair growth, or hair falling out. Any of those things can be there, or all of them. I mean, we have people that basically have all of that going on.
Right. Hair falling out of their head, and then right. Hair growth on their face.
Right.
You know, and weight gain is another one that right. Shows up, you know, and the inability to lose weight even when, you know, specifically dieting.
Right.
You know, they tend to hold on to it.
Right. And there's a big difference between a functional medicine approach like we use at the Institute versus conventional medicine. So, I mean, I use IBS as an example. So IBS will, you know, if somebody has irritable bowel stuff, so if they have stomach pain, they may be given something for the pain. If they have diarrhea, they may be given a medication to stop the diarrhea. If they're constipated, they may be given a medication to get things going again. But in conventional medicine, nowhere did they try to figure out what was causing the IBS to begin with. We dealt with the symptoms of IBS, and that's what happens in PCOS. They're dealing with the symptoms. You know, if there's pain, they give you a pain reliever. If there are hormonal imbalances, they try to balance them with synthetic, fake, horrible hormones that are just not good for you. Or they try to put you on the birth control pill, which, you know, the women that are trying to get pregnant, that really doesn't help them at all. And so it's a completely different approach. Our approach is, okay, so this is what's going on. What's actually feeding this? What's feeding the insulin resistance and high insulin levels? What's actually feeding the hormone imbalances? Those are the things that are leading around the corner to PCOS, right? So we've got to figure out there. Well, now you're talking about insulin, which is a hormone. You're talking about the, you know, androgens, which are hormones. Now we're talking about hormones. So we got to look at all the hormones. We can't just say, okay, well, we're just going to look at insulin and we're going to look at DHEA and testosterone. And we're going to try to fix this thing. It doesn't work right. That's like taking your car to the mechanic and not letting them lift the hood when you tell them that their engine's got a problem. All you say is, no, you got to stand over here and look at it from a distance. That doesn't do you any good. Doesn't do the car any good. And the mechanic's just going to sit there and go, well, I don't know what you want me to do. You got to get under the hood and figure out what it is that is going on.
Right. Well, and like we've said so many times, like, this isn't magic. I think a lot of people look at this, and it's funny because a lot of people who have come in, you know, to see TJ and have said, you know, well, I don't know how he figures it out. Like, this is all scientific. Like, you have to test. We're not able to just, you know, look at someone and know what their problems are. There's science behind this, and we look at the actual facts, like what does the testing actually tell us is going on? And then we'll go from there, because symptoms and how you're feeling, I mean, they only tell us so much, right? They point us in direction of what tests to run. They don't tell us what's actually going on within your body.
Right. And I mean, we have a couple that is getting there. They came in looking for fertility help, bless their hearts. And in our initial meeting, we discussed, and she told us, hey, you have, I've been diagnosed with PCOS. And she's like, but you know, I did have one doctor along the way that was like, I'm not really sure. I don't really think that you have PCOS. I'm not sure what this is. I don't know what's going on, but I don't think it's PCOS. And so we did our lab work, and we looked at a lot of stuff on this young lady. And I literally sat down. One of the very first things I said was, according to your lab work and the fact that you don't have any kind of imaging that says that you have PCOS, there's nothing in your lab work that suggests that you have PCOS. We have something else going on that we need to get to the bottom of. And it was kind of a sense of relief and also of devastation, because relief that it wasn't PCOS, and it's devastation that it's something else that no one has even been able to, you know, identify or figure out yet.
Which, and with someone who has gone through infertility, I get that, because so many people who are dealing with infertility don't have an answer. They're just told, well, you know, we don't know. It's, you know, unexplained infertility. And so to some extent, there is this, you know, relief if you get a PCOS diagnosis of, at least I know what's causing it. So then to take it away, I understand how it can be a little frustrating to know, okay, we're back kind of to square one, but, you know, we truly believe the functional medicine approach is the only way you're ever going to be able to move forward.
Right. So we've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the functional medicine approach to PCOS. You're listening to Wellness 101. We are talking about PCOS, or polycystic ovary syndrome. We've been talking quite a bit about the vicious cycle that is PCOS, and right before the break, we were talking about really kind of getting into the differences between a conventional medicine approach to PCOS and a functional medicine approach. And really, with conventional, it's just like, okay, well, you know, they don't have a lot of answers, and they've got some meds, and they're not really doing anything to fix the issue. I don't really have anything else to say other than that. Whereas on the functional side, we really try to dive in and figure out, okay, what hormones are imbalanced? What's wrong with your blood sugar regulation? Where are these things that are going wrong that we can alter, address, fix, and then watch the problem take care of itself?
Right. And that's really what happens. And I think that's what's so amazing is that, you know, PCOS is one of those diagnoses that we are really able to fix. I mean, like we're able to make a huge difference in these people's lives by correcting what's actually causing it. And that's such a huge deal to people who have been told, well, you're just going to have to deal with this and good luck having kids.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. Good luck having kids. I mean, that's really the answer.
Yeah. So, and good luck losing weight because yes. You're, I mean, you know, and like it just, right. There are some horrible things that come along with PCOS. So to be able to alleviate those are huge.
Right. So like I've said before, you know, with the diagnosis, if someone says I've been diagnosed with PCOS, I'm asking the questions, how were you diagnosed? What's going on? And they sometimes will say, well, they did it on an ultrasound, and that's all they did was an ultrasound. And I mean, one of the most common things of polycystic ovary syndrome is when they look at that, what's actually being seen are just follicles. They're not even cysts. And so they can be normal follicles. And if they see more than, you know, zero, they're like, uh-oh, we have polycystic ovary syndrome. And there's much better. The gold standard is still imaging, advanced imaging, MR or CT, to look and see, okay, what's actually going on there. I mean, I'm going to be using all the information I can possibly use, not just saying, okay, well, let's get an ultrasound to see, you know, what it looks like. I mean, I'm using it, looking at stuff like, do we have menstrual periods? Are they, you know, frequent? Are they infrequent? Are they absent? I'm looking at facial hair growth. Do we have, you know, any type of excess facial hair growth going on? We're looking at thinning hair on the scalp, thinning eyebrows. We're really paying attention. Are you losing hair somewhere?
Right, along the temples.
I care. Yeah, along the temples. I care if you're losing hair on your legs, right? If you're shaving your legs less, that matters, right? Then we're going to be looking at, okay, you know, what is your body size? I mean, what's your height to weight ratio? Are you considered obese? Are you overweight? Are you underweight? What's going on there? Do you have insulin resistance? What's your insulin level? What's your blood sugar level? What's your hemoglobin A1C level? What are all these things that you have going on? And then we're going to measure all of your sex hormones. We're going to look at as many as we possibly can, because they all matter, because it's not just, do I have, like I said, high testosterone? It's, do I have high testosterone in relation to what my estrogen levels are, or what my progesterone level is, or in, it's a balance. It's a teeter-totter. These things should be in balance. It's not a, oh, well, this one thing is high, so therefore it's PCO. It doesn't work that way. That's not how the diagnosis works. That's not how the syndrome process is. That's not it. They're missing the boat. So I mean, with all that being said and hopping down off of my soapbox, the functional medicine approach to PCOS is completely different than conventional medicine. And it's funny, we see this, and we even tell people that call in, hey, look, it's a different way of looking at things. And the most common question after we go over what it is that's going on, their problems, get their history, and then outline, hey, these are things that we need to look at. The most common question is, well, how come no one else has ever bothered to look at it? I don't really have an answer for that. I don't know. They didn't look at it because they're not trained to look at it. They don't know what to look for. They don't understand it as a multifactorial complex set of issues. They're thinking it's just an ovary problem. They're not looking at it as an entire metabolic issue.
But it really comes back to training, I think, because it's, you know, the doctors that are, you know, practicing conventional medicine are practicing in the way that they were trained. Those that are doing functional medicine are practicing in the way that they're trained. Conventional medical doctors aren't it's not generally that they know that all of this, you know, goes together and they don't care. I don't think that that's it at all. I think that they are, you know, they're working according to their training. Another point I wanted to make, because I think that it is important enough to actually make sure that we put this out there. Simply because you are having periods, you are bleeding every month does not mean that you are having an actual period and releasing an egg. And that can make a difference as far as...
Well, it doesn't mean you're actually ovulating. If you're having a period, you are actually having a period. You may not be out. I'm not a female. I'm not a female here. I don't have experience with this, but I'm pretty certain if you're menstruating, you are having a period.
Well, I'm glad you knew what I meant there.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, clarify that.
But I just think, you know, like if simply because you're bleeding every month does not mean that there isn't an issue either.
Right. There are a lot of women who have a menstrual cycle every single month, but then when they really get into it, they're actually not ovulating at all.
And that comes up a lot when, you know, when first, you know, I mean, when patients first come in and, you know, they're asked, okay, well, are you menstruating on a normal basis?
Schedule.
You know, is the schedule normal? And they say yes. And so...
And then we ask them to define normal because we need to know how many days...
Right.
That matters.
But even if it is on a normal schedule, it doesn't mean that it's a normal period and that everything is okay.
Right.
Which is why testing always comes in.
Testing is extremely, extremely important. So switching gears a little bit to talk about like how do we address like underlying causes of this, right? So, you know, let's we're just going to talk about like a standard functional medicine approach. When someone comes in, if they're complaining of any symptoms that we have talked about, these are the types of things that we're going to do at our clinic. We think about, you know, what it is that they're coming in as a diagnosis for, in this case, PCOS. And then
a lot of times it's not, it's for other things.
Well, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it's not that at all. It's other things. And we end up figuring out, okay, this is an issue too.
Right. Cause I would say actually it's rare for someone to come in for PCOS because even if they know they have it, they don't think there's anything that can be done about it.
That's true. Unless they're having fertility problems and they've been diagnosed with PCOS, then they'll come in with PCOS because of fertility. They're coming in for the fertility.
Right.
Just the PCOS is a underlying issue that they think is going on.
Yeah.
So when you know if it's PCOS that we're discussing, the first thing that we're thinking about is okay, let's think about PCOS. Let's think about you know what. Is it that's causing some of these imbalances, right? A lot of times we have people, when they come to us, they've already heard about, you know, all these different diets. It's not everyone, maybe half and half have heard of all these different types of diets out there. Things like paleo diet, grain free, maybe they're dairy free. There's a lot of different diets out there that people can choose to get on to be healthy. And so We may talk to them about diet and say, okay, well, you know, at the institute, we're big fans of food sensitivity diet. I think that's the absolute best diet you can be on. That way, you know exactly what foods you should or shouldn't be eating. So if you're okay eating, you know, food X, even though, you know, it's excluded from this very popular diet, if it doesn't create a problem for your immune system and it's something that is okay for you, then by all means, consume that food, right? That's what I'm all about.
Right. It actually blows my mind how much effort people will put into following a diet when they have not done any testing to know
right.
if the foods that they are eating most frequently are good or bad for them.
Right, exactly. And some of these just generic diets, they just leave in groups like, broccoli is okay in pretty much every diet out there. And if you have a sensitivity to broccoli, well, that's a big problem because that's something that you consume a lot of on, you know, this whatever particular diet that it is that you're following that day. It's just,
right. It's
mind-boggling. So we've got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to wrap this thing up by talking about, you know, addressing these underlying causes and looking at, you know, this in a little deeper with a little deeper respect as far as like, you know, what all kinds of things are going on under there and how can we get to that and help those. You're listening to Wellness 101. And before the break, we were just kind of talking about things that we do to address underlying causes, or things that can be done to address underlying causes. And one of the ones that's a relatively big one is dealing with diet. And we were talking about how my favorite diet is the food sensitivity diet. You know, you get your food sensitivities tested and then you follow that diet.
And do a complete test also, because yes, there's so many. These are popping up as food sensitivities are becoming more well known that this is an issue. More and more of these tests are coming up that do not fully test and are not accurate. They can give you false positives, false negatives. And
they don't test very many foods.
Right. And so it doesn't do you a whole lot of good, and they're becoming much more common, and we're getting a lot of patients that come in and say, well, I've already had it tested. And we're like, this doesn't really do you any good.
Well, you didn't test this entire whole thing over here, and you're eating this every day, and this test has that. Wouldn't it be important to know?
Right.
Is really what that
boils
down to. And
to know 100%, because I mean, we've had a lot of people who get frustrated and they're like, are you kidding me? I haven't been eating chicken because this test told me that I couldn't have chicken and I'm totally fine.
Right.
Yep. You can have false positives on a lot of these, you know, like, finger prick tests. And
right,
they do not give you full and accurate information.
Right. So we talked about diet, so that's our spiel on diet. Is, you know, that's, I'm a big fan. If you're not going to get food sensitivity testing, you know, following things like a paleo diet, that's a great one. Mediterranean diet's another good one.
Right, avoiding grains is good. Avoiding dairy is good. You know,
yep,
lowering sugar, all of those are going to help with PCOS symptoms.
Yep.
If you're not able to do the food sensitivity testing.
Right. Another thing that we're gonna do is trying to get at the underlying causes, we're going to look at a ridiculously comprehensive blood panel. We are going to look at blood from every angle possible because it's important to know what's going on with your system across the board. We're going to look at, you know, various nutrients, vitamin B levels, vitamin D levels. We're going to look at a comprehensive thyroid function, the whole thing. We're not just going to look at a couple pieces of the thyroid puzzle. We're going to look at all of them. We may get into some stool testing. We may get into small intestinal bacterial overgrowth or SIBO testing. There's a couple of different ways that can be tested. We may get into toxic metals and elements. We may dive into that and figure out, okay, you know, you have exposure to this or that or the other, and this is how we get rid of that stuff from your system. I mean,
right. We have there's so many environmental toxins that are out there that
right,
are, you know, become fairly ubiquitous at this point. And
right,
we're exposed to them on a daily basis. It's important to know, okay, is that contributing to what
right,
you have going on? Because
right,
it definitely could be.
That's exactly right. And we're going to look at your hormones. We're actually going to dive into your hormones and figure out, okay, what's going on? What's balanced? Do you need a hormone? Do you not need a hormone? And if you need them, then we're going to give you the right form. We're going to use a bioidentical prescription for you to fix that hormone issue. That's what we do. It's just that's how we approach it. That's how you fix this stuff. You can't just on a wing and a prayer say, oh, it's PCOS. There's the one thing to fix this one problem, when it's not one problem. It's a whole pile of problems.
Right. It sounds like a good solution, right?
Right.
I mean, it
sounds all nice. It's like it's all cozied up and they've packaged it all pretty and wrapped mm-hmm, it and put a bow on it. And that's what you've dealt with.
You've got this initial, yay, you found the problem and now I know what to take to fix it.
Right.
And it's not that simple. And it's funny because so many times people come in and they start off very skeptical, you know, like, well, why are you having to do all of this testing? You know, and why are you needing to do a number of different things when my doctor can do this all with one pill?
It's because your doctor hasn't taken the seminar that I teach to other doctors on how to do this.
Well, I mean, and if your doctor was doing worked, you wouldn't be here. In the clinic.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, usually we don't get people who push too hard simply because if that's really what they believe, they don't come see us.
Right.
I mean, bottom line is, yep, they're not interested in going outside of the conventional medical system if what they want is to be a victim of
the conventional medical system.
Of whatever their symptoms happen to be and whatever their diagnosis is. If someone wants to hang on to their diagnosis, they don't come to see us because
right,
that is not, we're not going to be good for them keeping, you know, continuing to say, well, I can't do that because I have PCOS or whatever
right,
else their story is they're telling.
Right. So you know, another thing that we really will pay close attention to is the HPA axis. There is a lot of stuff that goes on. We've talked about the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary axis, on the show before, in various episodes. And, you know, this is basically how we measure hormones and then cause our body to release hormones, and then how we make them and actually, you know, get them secreted to the body. And this, getting this axis under control, where your body is making the right amount of hormones, can be huge. And, you know, there's also the thyroid component in the HPA axis. And some people even put that in and say, well, this needs to be included. And I kind of agree, because we oftentimes see if that entire axis is off, then we're going to have problems with the thyroid as well. And it becomes a chicken or an egg. You know, we don't know if the thyroid created the problem or if the problem created the thyroid issue. Fixing all of that together, many, many times we will see menstrual issues, just their cycles will normalize. It just takes time. This isn't an overnight thing. And we try to express to our patients, look, it's taken you years to get here. Even a 17-year-old girl, if she started menstruating when she was 12, we're talking 5 years to get where she's at.
Right.
This isn't going to be flipped over overnight. You get someone who's in their mid-20s, late 20s,
right, when they're really
30s,
looking to get pregnant.
When they're trying to get early 30s, trying to get pregnant, or worse, they're, you know, late 30s, and they're like, I really want to have another child, or I really want to have a child. You're asking me to undo something that has taken, you know, 20 years to get you there.
Right. Good news is it can be done. The bad news is it might take a little bit of time.
It might take a little bit of time, which can allow for, you know, optimism, which is, and hope, which is great, but they can also be a little frustration because it takes a little bit of time.
Right. Well, and the whole HPA access thing, I think it's important to point out that so many medications now, whether they are oral medications or, you know, different creams and, you know, like we've talked about eczema and psoriasis, different, you know, things from dermatologists, will say in the pamphlet, if you read it, that it affects the HPA axis. So we now are, conventional medicine medical doctors are aware that this can become an issue, but it's still, I mean, at least it's talked about, I guess, but buried in a lot of those, you know, the literature that comes along with your prescription, it will say, hey, this could affect your HPA axis. Well,
that means it's an endocrine disruptor. It's going to affect your entire body.
Yeah.
All of it.
So if you're on any medications, you need to look at this.
Yeah. Pay attention. I mean, open up that little bitty tiny folded up, you know, they figured out a thin enough paper they can fold 84 times and put
right
in there. And you unfold it, and it covers your entire kitchen table in print that you have to have a Hubble telescope to read. And, you know, it's the information's there. Nobody wants to read it. It's all hidden in there.
Right, exactly. But the fact that they're starting to add in this HPA axis thing says, you know, they know it's an issue.
Exactly. So really, dealing with PCOS, a functional medicine approach is by far the best way to go with this. I mean, it's a systems approach. We look at all of the systems in the body all at one time and figure out what is breaking down that's ultimately leading to this issue that you're dealing with. That's the foundation of functional medicine, is just to look at, figure it out, and define what's actually causing it, and then address that issue, and a lot of other stuff just clears itself up. And that's the beauty of what we do. That's what makes me go to work every single morning, and I'm never, you know, upset that I have to go to work. I'm always excited because every person we meet is another chance to impact their life in a positive way. And, you know, they're in my office because they've been impacted negatively by the conventional medical model. That's all there is to it. So if you want more information from us, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com, call us 314-293-8123, follow us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be coming back with another show on PCOS to finish up the rest of the information that we've got. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.